You are right up May Street.
Oh, you can't make me choose.
I go by Toyota. Sponsors T4.
Fuck me, Lee Ryan's 13.
I remember we couldn't remember the word for table.
This is Your Welcome America Presents The Passions of Girls Aloud, episode 3.
Now we have started the 2024 Girls Aloud reunion tour. We're rewatching a relic of 2000 TV from our beloved girl group.
Coming up in episode 3, it's Princess Fiona from Shrek herself. Ah, Kim.
I am Ben.
I'm Fraser.
Fraser like Razor.
And this is The Passions of Girls Aloud.
After 5 years of producing hit after hit, Cheryl, Sarah, Kimberly, and Nicola have managed to take time out from recording and touring to follow their passion.
Right.
Well,
Here we are.
I'm going to start this episode by reading a text from you.
Oh.
I just fell asleep watching Kimberly's Passions.
Yeah, so I watched what I would describe as the first act, and then I slept for an hour and a half. I was so comatose. Here's the backstory. We're on episode 3. It's Kimberly.
Yeah.
She, age 12, she had a part in Les Mis. Now, in all those photos we see of her, well, that one photo we see of her as a kid in Les Mis, looks like she's got a black eye.
Yes.
Don't know
she's
what she was.
Street urchin kid in it, basically, right?
Yeah. But in this episode, we're going to be in London and New York City.
Mm. Yeah, we get a kind of a little preview. It looks like a lot of vocal distress. There's a great shot of her in the Long Hot Summer video, which made me happy. And then another Curb Your Enthusiasm moment where we have a shot of her singing a really loud note. And then it cuts to this guy that just says, "We can start a little quieter." Bum, 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 bada, bada, bada.
And the illustrious Matt Horn voiceover, "She may have the passion, but will she even get past the audition?"
You actually did that with a little too much
enthusiasm.
Flair.
Yeah.
Now, it's worth saying that this is our first episode of The Passions of Girls Aloud where I didn't see a bottle of Lucozade.
I wrote right at the top of my notes, Lucozade watch, no Lucozade anywhere. Yeah.
So Kim really broke that streak. So we'll see if Nicola comes back with it. I can't imagine Nicola having a Lucozade.
No.
She's classy.
Day one, should we get into that Range Rover?
Yep. So Kimberly's driving herself, which I thought was a first on The Passions of Girls Aloud. So far, we've seen a lot of Addison Lee work, but we're really close up next to her in her Range Rover. Mm. She's being shot very close by that PD next to her, producer-director.
No, I'll just drive myself. Don't worry about it. If you can find me parking.
So
an NPC car park, do you think?
Oh, of course, yeah, official. It's on the call sheet.
So expensive, those.
So we know she's on Kentish Town Road because we get a close-up of her kind of very 2000s sat-nav in her car, which looks just like the one in my car, which is from 2010. Baffling. I don't know how anyone ever used it to actually navigate. It looks like something from, like, Star Trek.
Yeah. I didn't quite properly see inside the Range Rover, but I do think there was wood veneer.
Oh, of course, yeah. And she says, well, musicals was where I started off, really. So we're really off to a great start here with Kimberly not speaking correctly.
And then we get a lovely, croaky interview with Sarah, who's definitely been out the night before wearing that slouchy beanie. And she's saying that Kimberly in musicals like tea and biscuits.
Yeah. And then Nicola says, tells a very boring story about how they were on the tour bus and they were listening to R&B on Kimberly's iPod. And it ran out and musicals started playing.
Les Mis was on our iPods.
I don't think that's that funny.
So we've got 5 days until Kimberly's audition for Les Mis.
Les Miserables, Les Mis. I'm just saying, people, if you don't want to hear us talking about the musical Les Mis, this is going to be a really tough episode for you. And it's a tough episode for me because I have had one very painful viewing of the West End stage show of Les Mis. Have you ever seen it?
Yes, and I thought it was really boring.
Yeah, I have definitely told you this before, catchphrase of the podcast. I went at university and kind of my group of friends, my group of girlfriends, I said to them, I'm not really interested in Les Mis, it looks boring, and I don't like musicals that are this long, and I don't like historical things. And they were all saying, no, but you'll see, it'll be different. It'll be different.
You'll love Les Mis.
They clearly thought this, like, theatre gay would come out in me, and I'd be, like, mesmerised by it. And they were like, I just remember sitting down, and it started, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no. It's a really boring musical.
It's a slog, isn't it?
It's a slog, boring musical. Like, visually, it's just war and flags.
Dirty. It's dirty and drab.
Yes,
and
no Starlight Express.
It's absolutely not. There's nothing to feast your eyes on in it. And there's a couple of, like,
The music's good.
Yes. The problem is that the songs that I like in it are the annoying, like, I like On My Own, but it's an annoying song, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's like, I don't want to hear it. But then I don't want to hear, we'll get to lovely ladies later, but...
Lovely lady sitting in the park.
What I would describe as the umpa-pa of, yes. Of Les Mis.
So, it's 5 days until the audition, so Kimberly is going off to see vocal coach Mary Hammond.
Yeah, she worked from Chicago to Cabaret to Billy Elliot to Miss Saigon. Now, I've never seen Miss Saigon.
The heat is on in Saigon. The girls are hotter than hell. Now, I used to be able to play in the saxophone one of the songs from Miss Saigon. And it was the one that goes, a song played on a solo saxophone.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
What about anything else from that list? Have you seen Billy Elliot? I've never seen that either.
No.
I've seen the film of it.
Seen the film.
Never seen Cabaret. I've never seen the film of Cabaret or a stage show of it.
I have seen both, I believe.
No need to mention the other one. Chicago. Of course I've seen... I couldn't have seen more things of Chicago if I tried. I saw that it's coming. Chicago's coming to... I think it's coming to, like, the Pantages here in LA, and I am a little tempted to see if there was, like, a ticket price under a certain amount, I think I would go.
What's that amount?
$50?
I was going to say 25. What I was actually thinking
was 30, but I was worried as soon as I said it that you'd sneer at me.
No!
Cyril sneer.
So, let's talk about Mary Hammond. Here's the thing that describes her and her aura best. She has a giant grand piano in her living room, in the bay window of her living room, and there's a shawl draped over it.
She reminds me of a very terrifying French teacher at my school she's a redhead, isn't she, Mary? She's kind of a redhead, a graying redhead is how I describe it. And that's what this French teacher was like. And she had the
same... What's her name? Mademoiselle or Madame...
Sowerby.
Madame Sowerby.
Yeah. Could you have a more evil sounding name? Like, if you wrote, like, if I feel like if you wrote, like, a kid's book.
Yeah.
Sowerby is a really, like, she was so scary.
Remember our French teacher, Miss Ramsey? And we realized her first name was Morag, so we're obsessed with the fact that she was called Morag Ramsey. Great name. Anyway, so Mary has a reputation for being tough.
And she basically kind of says, like, listen, in this interview, she kind of says, like, fuck your stupid show. Like, if you're not actually good at this, then they're not gonna let you do something in Les Mis. I was like, oh. And then I really started getting into thinking about the contract for this one with Les Mis, with the show. Do you feel like they had some kind of clause to be able to... Do you feel like there was tiers of what she could do in the show depending on how she did? Like, yeah. And they just said, like, we'll choose what she does after she does the audition. She'll do something.
Yeah.
Like, the chorus was kind of the baseline. And the top was her actually playing Eponine in the production.
Oh, she was never going to get to play after two weeks of rehearsals. No.
What do you think the top thing was? I think it must have been her having more solo in the show.
Yeah, but in the end she gets a chorus number with some solo bits in it.
Yeah.
And then she gets at the end.
There's something a little weird about that performance. It's kind of just like, the show's over. Kim's going to sing a song.
It's pretty good. I think it's a good workaround. Yeah. I have to say to Susie and the producers,
yeah.
Good workaround.
Yeah, no, it felt big enough that she was still, like, it was the still full cast and, like,
yeah,
stage and everything. But anyway.
Okay, so first of all, she's got to take her heels off.
Oh, God. You want to talk about what I've mentioned every episode about how awkward the Passions of Girls Aloud is? Hers and Mary's interactions to start with are just so awkward. So much of, like, silence after she's told her to do something. Kimberly looks so nervous.
Mary asks her to take off her heels, and in future she's like, wear something more comfortable to these lessons. She doesn't look uncomfortable, though.
No, she's making a lay on the ground, but I think it's because she's wearing a skirt. But I have to play you this voice note I recorded at this moment. It couldn't be more peak R. Kim.
Next time we meet, it could be an idea to wear something a bit more comfortable, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of her just being like, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
just
yeah.
People saying things to her, and her nodding, yeah, going, yeah, yeah,
you're right, yeah, I get
yeah,
it,
yeah. Oh yeah, I've just written here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll wear a tracksuit next time. Yeah, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
In one of these, she says, Mary says, you sound a bit dry today.
Yeah.
Did you have a glass of wine last night? And our Kim did.
She goes, you know, yeah, actually, we went to the theatre and had a glass of wine. I like the idea that she went to see Les Mis and then, like, had to see it again, like, another night in the row. She's like, oh, God, I thought I'd be clever and watch it before the recording.
Oh, I had to see it in London again for the show and in New York with Hilary Shaw. And then this scene ends with very odd music.
Don't you think as well that Mary is by far the most dynamic kind of secondary figure we've had on a Passions episode? I thought the dancer was good, but he was very calm. I feel like Mary's like a loose cannon. I don't know what she's going to say.
She's a loose cannon, but I preferred the dancer guy.
Oh, I didn't say I liked her more.
Oh, okay. What about the American that we have coming up? The American vocal
coach. We'll get to her.
Because she's takes up a notch.
What do you think of Mary's jacket? Did you take it in?
What's she wearing?
It was kind of a burnt orange jacket, and it had these two kind of shoulder panels here that had almost an Aztec, or kind of a very kind of New Mexico, a very Santa Fe pattern, like of some blues, and there was something vaguely Native American about it that felt a little tricky. I was like, I see you, Mary.
I see you, Mary. So then...
And at the end of this, I just wrote, our Kim looks knackered. She feels like she's really been through the ringer in that first session.
I had that glass of wine last night. Okay, next up, we get a bit of something kind of instrumental. And I've just written, fuck, this is boring. And then we see the exterior of a brick-built building.
Yes, we're going to Kimberly's pad in London.
So she's got her partner, Justin, then she's got her sisters,
Amy and Sally. So she's popped a VHS tape in the VHS player combo that she has underneath her television. And it's her watching her kind of performing in different musicals as a child. And then I laughed out loud when the voiceover said, Kimberly played in the Les Mis Manchester regional production. She played a young child. That's the only info we get.
I've written here, white leather sofa, ?
No,
because later on, it looks like it's the same color as your skin.
Yeah, it's more of a squashier fabric one later. I think maybe what you were distracted by is that sitting behind Sally or Amy, there was a white, kind of a spray-painted white branch just in a pot as maybe, like a decorative thing. I think you were so blinded by that, you just thought, white couch, that's all you could think.
That's fair.
A very thick framed, white framed mirror behind them on the sofa as well. Very thick framed.
But later there's a scene where she's on a sofa and behind her there's a giant canvas that has a photo of pebbles. Like giant pebbles, like rock, like very smooth rocks in a stream.
Well, she's very rich. She can have two sofas.
Maybe she's got two living rooms.
Maybe, yeah. Wow. Like a formal sitting room and a more of a casual den.
It's quite a pokey little flat though. Anyway, we'll come back to it.
My overall note was, she seems, I said, they all seem like a really nice, lovely, boring lot.
So boring.
So we get kind of we fly into a kind of a training montage, and Kim's wearing a gorgeous, juicy tracksuit in kind of an olive green, or like an army green.
Well, she said she was going to come back in her comfies, so she did.
And then we get just kind of this, I didn't even write down what she said, but we got a great kind of interview. And at that point, Mary, the teacher, she's sitting by her piano, and she's wearing kind of a really flowing kind of smocky top with a scarf that's kind of peacock feathered colored, and I thought that's classic Mary.
We get in this very boring, I've written vocal lesson montage. This is like the horse riding again in Sarah's episode. She is told, Kimberly's told, she needs to work on her consonants
and to stop drinking milk. Did you hear that? Just one throwaway line of, you need to stop drinking milk.
But then I also heard that she's been working hard at home. Of course she has.
Yeah, she's going to do this right.
Yeah.
Although my stomach dropped when she first walked in and Mary said to her, she says, oh, did you bring the score?
What was that?
I think it was like the musical score of the sheet music.
Yeah.
She's like, did you bring it? And she's like, oh no, I left it at home. And I was like, oh God, it made me have my stomach drop feeling about being in trouble. I think it's the Mrs. Sowerby kind of vibe that I was getting from her. I got very nervous around her.
And then she is told that for her audition, which is now tomorrow, she should dress simply, not wear her jangly earrings.
Yeah, there was, when she tells her that she's worked really hard at home, it was quite a nice moment because she's been quite tough on her. But then they're sitting together on like the piano stool, and Kimberly like puts her head on Mary's shoulder, and she's like, you're gonna be okay. It's very nice. But yeah, these jangly earrings, she's really She's like, well, I thought when I put them on this morning, just so many interviews, so many boring interviews with her in this. But I will say we get our first of many shots here, which is when she leaves and there's a voiceover playing. There's so many shots of Kimberly walking down London streets with her heels clip-clopping. And I think at this one, it looks like she's got all her stuff in like a Jane Norman shopping bag.
Not the score, clip, that's clop, for
clip,
sure.
Clip, 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 clip.
So before the audition day, she goes for a wee night out, doesn't she?
Yeah, we got the instrumental of the song Control of the Knife from Tangled Up.
I don't even know that song.
It's an okay song, but actually the instrumental, especially that beginning bit, is really good for like, it really is made to bring you into like a new scene.
Did you see that My Dream Came True and they're not doing the Loving Kind on tour?
Yes, I did.
Very happy with
but
that.
But it wasn't to replace it with two separate performances
of Indestructible? No. Untouchable!
So they're in the back of an Addy Lee. Kim's decided to give up the reins of driving here.
Although she can't have a drink tonight. Although parking.
Yeah.
Parking in the West End.
Yeah, you can't. There's no point.
Not at night.
No.
Well, the NCP rates are actually higher.
Yeah, well, you'd probably end up paying a full day like or full overnight rate at that point.
Oh, we'd probably get stuck.
NPC. Is that what it actually stands
NPC,
for?
NPC, National Parking.
Or is it NCP?
NCP, I don't know, one of them.
NPC is non-player character in computer games.
Okay. NCP.
This is when I had the note for myself. Oh God, I hate Les Mis. Then I just wrote that they've got loads of clips of it playing, and I said, "Fuck this show."
And she cries watching the show.
Yeah.
And Justin thinks she's gonna get it. I think so too, Justin.
Yeah, we have a very odd interview with the two of them in kind of the. It's clearly a cordoned off like bar area of that theater, but they're just all alone sitting by a window overlooking Shaftesbury Avenue
on the Strand. And he is something. Do you think she had a little box of Maltesers?
Oh yeah, or maybe like an ice cream.
Oh, like a Magnum.
Just a little mini Magnum.
Oh, like the white chocolate one actually. But I doubt she will have had a glass of wine.
No, she's a good girl.
Do you think she had a Diet Coke and one of those little half pint glasses with like no ice in it?
Yeah, warm. Yeah. Warm to the hand.
Yeah.
Well, it's the day of the audition.
Okay, yes, audition day.
And oh my God, we are flying through this episode, Ben.
Oh wait, this is where we get another shot of her new build brick flat.
Yeah.
That she's at.
So it definitely is North London, is it? You know, she was driving down Kentish Town Road before. It definitely is.
I remember in another show seeing her in this flat. Yeah. I bet she kept it as like an investment.
Wasn't this on... This was on Girls Aloud Off the Record. Remember she was interviewed on that terrace?
Yes.
Outside. Like she had like a roof terrace.
That's right. She thinks she's got the penthouse.
I do feel like... Because Kim's maybe the most sensible one. I do feel like she had the nicest place first. So maybe the others all like... got their nicer places later. I feel like when we watched that show, the first one, I think she had the nicest place out of all of them at that point.
She got an early investing property.
Yeah, because she's smart.
She's gotten the property out of her. This is where we see her on a sofa, and above the sofa there's a giant canvas of pebbles. But it's a two-seater sofa. It's quite a small sofa.
Yeah, and we get a quite long rambling explanation of that exact sensation where you are nervous about something and you need to sleep, but you can't sleep. And all you think about is wanting to go to sleep, but you can't sleep. And she does that in full. It's literally like something really boring your friend would say to you if you kind of met them. You know, you're like, oh, how are you? And you're like, oh, couldn't sleep last night, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I loved it.
Wait, I'm just Googled Kimberly Walsh. Okay. Oh, here we go. This is good. In the Metro... Kimberly Walsh's quirky top floor first home was her Princess Tower.
Mm. Princess Fiona.
It was in a renovated hospital.
Ah. I feel like we should be able to track that down. Like, renovated hospital, North London, 2005.
This is great. The property was a blank canvas. It didn't require any doing up as it was brand new, which was what I needed at the time. Having said that, I still retiled one of the bathrooms.
I bet this is it. So you said she called it a princess
tower.
A princess tower. There is a hospital in North. It said this building was converted into luxury flats called Princess Park Manor. I bet this is it.
Oh my God. Here's good. I did decorate the spare room very dark Moroccan vibes. And you see that when she's packing.
Oh, this is definitely where she lived. Oh, yeah, this is definitely it.
Let's see.
That's She's it. Definitely up there in that That's tower. It. Wow, what a creepy thing that we just did.
Well, it's good to know. She's still got it. She's renting it out. Wonder who lives there now.
Oh, could you imagine if she was your landlady? Yes. But she's completely easy and pleasant and everything's fine.
Totally.
Anyway.
So she does have a French manicure and she's wearing some sturdy black heels. And we see a shot of her walking down the street.
Another one. Clip, clop.
Clip, clop. Brown cup of coffee, cropped trench.
Yeah.
She's decided to wear a sensible brown dress and she's got tights on.
Mm.
And then I just wrote, remember when Sarah wore skull and crossbones earrings to the polo party? We didn't know how lucky we had it.
So she is now heading into the audition and I started getting very nervous for her and very uncomfortable about this. She seems to be auditioning for these two men that work on Les Mis or work for Les Mis in kind of some Victorian listed building somewhere in the middle of London. It's nowhere near the theatre.
Yeah, no clue. And what we do hear from the other girls at this point, Sarah says, oh, Kimberly should be absolutely bricking it. And then Nicola mimes slapping someone and saying, get on with it, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, and so they kind of talk, they're like, oh, we're just going to go over some of this stuff. Oh, so I'm going to sing on my own. And that really made me nervous. She kicks off her shoes.
That's when we see that they're Aldo shoes.
I just wanted to point out the white desk fan that's behind her.
It's not on, though.
It's not on, of not course. On. We can't mess with sound.
Saw that.
Just love, like, being in a clearly million-pound property, you know, luxury property that has no air conditioning
of because
it's
not.
So old.
I mean, hot in the summer, cold in the winter. Mm-hmm. No sash windows. So, speaking of
sash window.
Speaking of sound levels, when she's singing, the sound levels really peak, don't they?
They really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they she does these kind of slightly terrifying high notes and they do like a quick montage of like the guy's very British about it. They just
Well, he's not British.
Well,
one of them's like Italian or something.
But, you know, British sensibility in there. Yeah. All they do is a very light eye flare, like a tiny, like, it's no like, just like a little,
oh my God, you can just imagine. Do you think there was a separate sound person? Because if there was, they would have one headset on and the other one off. One ear on, one ear off. And the producer, you'd look round at them and they'd be kind of wincing.
Yeah.
And they'd be like twiddling the knobs and the sound thing.
That little bar is going ticking right into the red zone.
Yeah.
Something you and I often do.
On my own. So then they do some exercises with it. It's about 30 minutes altogether, apparently. Yeah,
30 fucking minutes. That's like a long audition.
Like at one point, she has to sing, but like, she has to be quiet, but we're going to do it right now. I have to tell you a secret, but just with my facial expressions.
it was very good.
Yeah.
At one point they're like her and Mariano kneeling on the floor, like facing each other, and she's just singing On My Own, like into his face, which is nice.
Well, she's kicked her shoes off.
Yeah, it felt like quite an intensive kind of session, is how I would feel like I'd describe it, rather than an audition. It felt like a session.
That's fair.
Now, so, she looks bedraggled when it's over.
But I do think she took direction well.
Yeah.
Kimberly.
It's Kimberly.
Yeah.
I feel like she kind of stumbled out of that session. She's holding her water bottle with the sports cap. She's kind of clutching it. Yeah, she looks kind of shell-shocked.
Frazzled.
Very frazzled.
So she needs to wait for a phone call. And I did write here, what phone did she have in 2007? Because she's going to hear from them by phone. We do find that out later.
We do find that out. But we get yet another shot of her trip-tropping down London street in her heels. Like, truly, the one when she left the vocal session, she was walking off like she was leaving. It wasn't like, oh, we need to get you walking down the street. She got really far. Like, she just turned the corner and just went home.
Yeah.
So we then cut to her sitting in a restaurant somewhere in the corner of a restaurant. And who pops in to say hello to her?
Nicola.
It's our girl Nicola.
They go to a wine bar that has TV screens, which I thought was very rare for London in 2007. Mm. And then they both have a little chit chat. And I think that we go back to your earlier prediction that they did all film their passions at the same time.
Yeah, because they kind of share, like she's kind of saying to Nicola, oh, how's your thing going?
Yeah.
And Nicola's like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Nicola's got a fun hairstyle. She's got this kind of messy, giant, like
side
French braid kind of situation, which looks really good.
And they're both saying, yeah, I feel like
I feel like I don't have a job anymore. I feel like I've been transported into the big bad world outside of Girls Aloud. I've got this other thing. And I keep forgetting I actually do have a job.
Yeah. I like the way they talk about it like a job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true, but it's just funny. Yeah. And Kimberly kind of makes a good point, which is like, I've already done this on television, like auditions.
Did she say that?
Yeah. She's like, I've been through this like process before and it was... And I can't believe I'm doing it again.
Well, I thought it was weird that the producers didn't lean in more, Susie, didn't lean in more to, like, all the girls saying, well, you know, auditioning, we've all auditioned right. before. Like, I'm surprised they didn't yeah. talk about that. I don't know.
And then I just was really, really transfixed about this one kind of light strip behind Nicola that was just a purple, what are they called? Like, a purple fluorescent bulb yeah. just behind her. And it wasn't recessed enough to... do ambient lighting. It was just behind her.
Yes.
Yep. Really badly installed.
So then we fly off to Casa Kimberly.
We get one of the most classic Kim little sequences here.
I made a lot of notes about this.
Yeah.
So we're in her pokey kitchen.
Yeah.
Which is in a sort of corner.
Yeah.
And I've decided that, so it was a new build when she went in.
Yeah.
So it's a new build, and the builder obviously chose the kitchen cabinets, but they didn't go for the cheapest, but they went for like...
It's a luxury development.
Yeah, they went for like high-end but bog standard.
Mm.
It's very much that. They just whacked in those with those square white tiles.
And I also think now we've seen the exterior of the building, you can kind of see that they are working with some slightly strange roof lines of that building.
Yes.
It's not like a square box. It's quite like... There's a lot of roofing happening. So that kitchen was very... Higgledy-piggledy.
Got some black countertops. Mm. I've also noticed that a three-wick candle has been lit in the corner.
With a lighter next to it.
Yes.
Which I really liked. Because I'm always lighting my candles and then trying to hide the lighter so that it just looks like they've effortlessly kind of been lit. Not our Kim.
Where do you think that candle's from?
Jo Malone.
I was going to say the White Company.
Yeah. Now, she's for sure making a cup of tea for... She's making three cups of tea.
Oh my God, I totally made notes about this.
Yeah.
Who do you think?
I think that she's making a cup of tea for the producer and maybe for Justin, or maybe the cameraman and the producer. Like, maybe it's just the three of them there.
Camera.
Yeah.
Camera, producer, Kimberly.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Do you see that giant curved, first of all, the mugs.
Yeah.
Real chunky mugs.
Pink polka dots.
Yeah.
Pink and white.
And you see that there's a cake tin in the background.
Yes, that simply says cake.
And she's also got one of those bins, very Smeg, which has like got a curved top to it and metal.
And did you notice next to the candle on the kind of island, there was an actual chocolate cake with like slices taken out of it. So she clearly served tea and cake
put that in the tin afterwards once I've sliced it.
It's got the word cake on it. And then she sits down on her sofa and there's a radiator behind it.
I saw that. And this is where she's barefoot. Mm-hmm. And this is where we see that the sofa is actually the color of her skin.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's clutching a flip phone.
Yes, we find out what phone. It's not actually a flip phone. It's a slide-up phone.
Oh, okay.
And it's got that little loop of material
yes.
you know, like stuck to it.
So at this point, Matt Horn starts to really talk in riddles about the fact that if, you know, that she wants to play the part of Eponine, but, you know, she might just be in the show. It's all very, there's a lot of, they really had to talk away some of the behind the scenes kind of pulleys and ropes here just to kind of cover the fact that she's not going to necessarily just be in Les Mis singing a lead part.
Well, she gets a phone call.
Yeah.
Buried the lead here. She gets a really exciting phone call. She's like, all right. Yeah. And then she's told she's going to get to be in a...
Yes.
Be in
a course. That voiceover was before the phone call.
Oh, really?
It was trying to lay the path... Lay the pathwork of like, by the way, Matt Horn basically said, just so you know, in this phone call, she's not going to get told that she's playing Eponine in the West End of Les Mis. She's just going to be on the show. Like, it was really...
Oh.
I was like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. And then Mariana calls her to the tunes of Wow by Kylie.
You got it. Yo, wow, 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 wow.
And what does he say?
I can't remember.
This really cracked me up. He's like, hello, Kimberly. Yes, we really loved you. We thought you did a really good job.
Yeah, right.
And we'd love you to take part in the show. And she's like, okay. And clearly this conversation is not happening for real, because it doesn't feel like it, like her reactions don't seem like correct for it. But he's like, yeah, we want you to be in the chorus and perform one of these songs. And then what we're going to do is have you sing on my own on the stage in full costume and full lighting.
It's like, full lighting. What a cool,
how lucky of you they didn't turn the lights off when you're singing.
And then the Matt Horn voiceover says, great news, but now the pressure is really on.
Is it?
Very underwhelming moment.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the producer negotiations about...
Yes, you know, for sure. And I like the kind of webs they had to weave to try and get to that point of that phone call not being completely weird.
It's like, just let her sing at the end of the show. Even if people have left.
We'll keep the lights on.
Put her in costume, keep the lights on. Audience don't need to stay.
Yeah.
So she then goes to a costume fitting.
She does, to the sounds of Racy Lacey from the Chemistry album. So, one of the weirdest songs that they've ever made.
She is going to be playing a 19th century Parisian whore in the group ensemble song Lovely Ladies.
Yeah, if you ever wanted to hear the word whore being said 1,000 times, then you can watch this episode. Of Passions.
Just remember, in Cheryl's episode of Passions, the street dancing hip-hop episode, the word black was not used once. No. But in this episode, the word whore is used repeatedly.
Yeah, and then we get one of my favorite shots of the episode, which is kind of one of those shopping market bags with a post-it note on it that says, Eponine and whore bits for Kimberly. Number 4, Kimberly.
Whore bits.
Whore bits.
Whore bits for Kim.
Eponine and whore bits for Kimberly. I'm sorry, that is... If we ever need to encapsulate why we do what we do on this podcast, it is that post-it note.
It just Eponine and whore bits for Kimberly.
Number 4, Kimberly.
I'm so glad you saw it, because I didn't spot that. But when you texted it to me, I was like, oh, that's good.
I screamed out loud at home.
So she's trying on outfits, great, 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 and then she gets to try on the Eponine outfit, and she's really happy because she gets a waist belt.
Yeah.
She loves a waist belt.
The process of making an Eponine outfit seems to be very much that, because she's a street urchin in rags, there's this kind of white smock that she's wearing, and this costume person is just hacking away at it with scissors, and she's like, oh, you know, we do that in the band, but maybe not so rough.
And then she ends up wearing a slouchy coat and slouchy hat, and I've written here, it's very Whole Lot of History music video.
It is. We see a lot of that slouchy hat, don't we?
Now where are we going?
I tell you what, another one of my conspiracy theories confirmed in this moment. We have to stop production of the show because the girls are going to fly to LA to shoot Call the Shots.
Thank fuck something more exciting is happening in this episode.
I know, seeing clips of Call the Shots really lifted my spirits. Yeah. To get a little touch of glamour and makeup and hair.
But before we even get to that, we see Arkim in her, now we know for sure, her Moroccan guest room.
Yes.
Packing. And I wrote here, dark wood blinds, shiny orange bedding. It's her Moroccan theme. I've never been, but I like the vibe.
Yeah, you know, mirrored, last mirrored blanket.
Oh, shiny. Doesn't wash well, but it looks good. It's just the guest room, though. So I don't know if you noticed the packing. She's got a rogue sandal on the top of her clothes.
I didn't see that.
And my mind really wandered, and I was like, imagine if we had access to that exact bag with that exact... like bunch of clothes right now. It's like a time capsule.
Oh, it would be a gorgeous, the brands and everything would just be fantastic.
The smells of those clothes, just perfect. The Call the Shots video shoot is far more exciting than anything else in this episode.
I'd say anything in this entire series, including Cheryl actually shooting a music video.
Yeah, Cheryl auditioning for a music video for a song that she's already featured on. Yeah, that's fair.
I've got a lot of hope holding out for our girl, our dainty doll in the last episode. I don't know why, but I'm pinning all my hopes on Nicola being the best episode.
Our dainty doll. Oh, she goes to... Oh, I've already looked at the preview. She fucking goes to Asia.
Well, see?
Yeah.
Love her.
We're now going to New York.
Bloody hell.
I've written, okay, the app's picking up.
Yeah.
What? We've got a Kanye West song. Uh-oh.
Yeah, that was tough. And then, yeah, we see some shots of New York and... Something about the low-res quality in the year that this was filmed. It looked like it could have been footage from, like, the 70s.
I just wrote here, why is she in New York?
It really felt like they just were taking advantage of the fact that she was already in America.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, like, not actually that convenient.
But it's weird because in this... So she now is good to see this woman called Liz Kaplan, another vocal coach. I'm like, we've done a vocal coach.
Yeah. I guess maybe it was the thing. I think it's more like they needed to keep her going because it was truly like she had to actually do this.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we can't have her in LA doing it because Cheryl's going to be in LA doing the Will I Am stuff and it'll look too similar. So they were like, Broadway, it makes sense. It does make sense, kind of.
It does. I've got a pitch for you. Two alts. She could have gone to France to see something Les Miserables related, or she could have gone and worked a shift with some sex workers to really get into character.
Yeah, that's good. So maybe gone to like Vegas.
Yeah.
Just somewhere kind of, yeah, that would have been fun.
That would have been good. So she's tired.
She's very tired. She arrives at Liz Kaplan's apartment in New York, and we get a shot of three separate decorative items in Liz Kaplan's apartment. She has a sign on the wall that says, "Life's a beach." And then she has two statement pillows next to each other. "The queen is not accepting her audience today."
Good.
And the other one said, "I'm still a hot babe. It just comes in flashes." And I was like, Liz, you devil.
Well, I've written here, Liz lives in an apartment of curiosities. Mm. We've got some funky mirrors. We've got a dream catcher.
Yeah.
As well. So, a lot going on.
Now, as in the way that Mary, the vocal coach, was kind of more of a brittle British kind of scary vocal coach that gets the job done, our Liz is a real ray of sunshine, a real American ray of positivity.
She could be more American in comparison to the other one.
More positive and nice.
So I've written here, they do that annoying thing of vocal exercises.
My notes say, Ben is going to be so mad because vocal warm-ups are not interesting or funny. That was my exact note.
So annoying. Again, it just reminds me of working in a talk show and being like, maybe that we could get them to do vocal exercises because the music guest is getting interviewed in the sofa. So boring.
Yeah, no one cares.
And then I've written here, okay, wow, Liz Kaplan, vocal coach.
Wow.
Liz Kaplan, vocal coach, actually gets something out of R. Kim.
Yeah, she teaches, gives her some kind of tips and tricks, and she does really impressive big notes at the end of the song.
It's good.
Yeah. It's not the first time in our lives we've seen the streets of New York set to this song.
Do it, do it.
You're doing it well.
And then I've just written here in all caps. Bum, bum, bum,
bum. Here's the thing. I've been to New York every day.
I've written here in all caps, Hillary. Hillary Shaw, of course. No, darling, I'll just come to New York because I'm on the way back from LA.
Of course, yeah, of course she did those two glamorous stops.
I'll keep you company. So they go in the Staten Island ferry.
They sure do.
Kim talks in the ferry. You can't hear a word she's saying. Again, that poor sound person.
There's a great, the final line of them sightseeing together. They're standing in Times Square or like, they're in like Broadway. And Kimberly goes, "All the theatres are together and you're really ... in it all." And Hillary goes, "Yeah." And then it just cuts.
And then Kim tries to do like a fetish shop gag.
Yeah.
She's like, Hillary's trying to take me to a sex shop. And Hillary's like, "Oh no, I'm not, darling. Don't say that, darling." So I've written here, well, I guess Hillary doesn't get a mic.
No.
Which is a real shame.
There were some sound issues on this
trip
shoot
to New York. Do you think it's like, oh shit, they didn't bring an adapter to plug in the mics? Right. So the next section I've just called Still in New York.
Yeah, we're going to meet with someone whose name I didn't catch.
Oh, who don't know.
Works on the Broadway version of Les Mis.
So let's go to a location that has zero natural lights.
Yeah. I'd say he's kind of the history coach or maybe the whore coach.
Yeah, and it's also like a lot of whore chat here. This is where I've written, I wish Kim actually got to hang out with actual sex workers.
Yeah, although this is interesting that he has some kind of binder and it seems to be like some kind of Les Mis show binder. And it's like, he's trying to explain to her that this, even though the song is kind of upbeat, there's like a desperation behind it because it's like being a sex worker in those times was hideous and they were like the most reviled people and it was so dangerous and people were dying. I'm not entirely sure any of that landed with our Kim. She seemed a little
he's trying to really go into his motivation for her character.
Exactly.
And so he's saying this, okay, so your character, how many men do you think you've had so far?
Yeah, this was a tough moment.
She's like, oh well, if it's a couple of hours, I've maybe done two or three men that night. And I've just written here, what is going on?
Yeah, this is a tough moment. Hey, if you were a sex worker, how many men would you have fucked in this night? It's like, whoa, 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 bud. I know you're getting all access to this member of a girl group, but just relax, okay? Yeah.
Although, to be fair, I have written here, come on, Kim, be a whore.
Well, she to the beautiful opening strains of Man Eater by Nelly Furtado, she says, "I'll be a great whore when I get into the show.
Well, by the time I get back to London, I'll be a great whore." So then, although
she's, everybody look at me,
before she goes back to London,
oh god,
she and Hillary go to see Les Mis.
What a drag to see it yet again.
So bearing in mind, our Kim, right? she went on her own research, most likely.
Drank a glass of wine.
She drank that glass of wine. She then watched her tapes of Les Mis at home, her VHSs. Then she went with Justin, and now she's going with Hillary.
And she's been singing On My Own in between every single one of those constantly.
And she's jet lagged and tired. Right. I've just written here in all caps, I want to hear from Hillary. Back in London, we get a nice shot of the Millennium Bridge. Remember when that opened? It was really shaky.
Yeah, the wobbly bridge.
The wobbly bridge. Yeah.
Yeah. So she is back in London, and she's in kind of a nondescript rehearsal space, learning the choreo for the lovely lady's group number.
She's in a rehearsal space with stackable chairs, and she's wearing Uggs.
Yeah, and it's kind of a, they've got those like staging pieces that you can have, and it's, yeah, and chairs, and it's all to try and represent that fucking set in Les Mis, which is just like, what, like a big pile of barrels that everyone's constantly constantly climbing and swinging flags off of, and puffs of gunpowder smoke. And that turns around, doesn't it, to them?
La Revolution!
To be like the inside of the tavern. Oh my god, I just remember everyone saying to me, like, oh, there was, you know, there are those really fun bits, and it's like the tavern owner and his wife. Do you know what I'm talking about? That, and I think that's the lovely ladies bit. It's the umpapa section of...
Okay.
Of Les Mis, and I remember watching and being like, yeah, I guess I'm having like 1 ounce of fun at the moment as opposed to the rest of the show.
I'd much rather go on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Yes, please. Like,
that's, you get the kind of essence of that.
Yeah.
Should we get to the Les Mis stage?
Yeah. Well,
before we get to it,
there's one great shot of Kimberly getting some feedback, and it's much like you said earlier. She's wearing the Eponine like floppy Baker Boy hat and her big hoop earrings, and she's getting some feedback, and she just goes, yeah. Well, yeah, let's get to it's 3 days before the performance.
It's raining. It's
dead rainy.
Oh, she's on those, I hope she's not gonna trip on those cobbles.
She is sitting on a stairwell, and she basically says, she says, you know, I'm always early for everything, and I did actually consider being late today because I feel so nervous, but you know, I'm still here on time. It's like, good old reliable, old faithful.
Think of it. I wonder how early she was for that polo shopping sequence, yeah, with Sarah that Sarah was 30 minutes late to.
And then I have to admit, as boring as this episode was, I started to get a little sweaty palms, a little nervous for her. Seeing like the set, I started thinking about the how embarrassing it is for her, like the reality of like having to slot yourself into like a professional show and be, mm-hmm, like being filmed for it at the same time. And
yep,
everyone in the show, like how you could not do that without thinking that everyone in the show found you really annoying and,
totally,
like really difficult in the way.
Well, everyone's had to come in.
Right. So, I mean, I started feeling really, really nervous for her and really like uncomfortable at this point.
I did wrote that she's starting to sound good.
Yeah.
And we've no sign of Lucas Aid, I've written here, just to really confirm that. But there's a problem. She's got a sore throat or something. Yeah. I don't know.
We get it. Yeah. yeah, so she basically is singing too much. So I've called him the man because it's not the Italian man, the other one. I don't know who he is, what his name is. But he basically said, if we do this tomorrow, she's going to like completely burn out. So we're going to give her the day off.
Yeah.
Which we didn't get to see, which I did think we were going to have to then sit through another at home. I thought she'd be like leafing through Les Mis weekly magazine or something. Finding another way to look at Les Mis things.
No, it gives me a good day to unpack, do my washing, and do the shop. Actually,
yeah, I bet she went to Sainsbury's.
Maybe she had a bath
and had a bath.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet she had nice bath stuff.
Yeah,
I bet she still does
nice smellies.
So we're back at the theatre.
It's the big day.
It's the big day.
The VO says the big day's finally arrived, and she's just hours away from realizing her dream.
Yeah, she's getting into her whore costume,
mm-hmm,
and then, really embarrassingly,
this is so embarrassing.
This is so, because they basically she has to try the costume for the rehearsal, but they make her do a run through with the cast on stage, and she's the only one in costume.
Yeah,
that is so crazy.
It's really embarrassing.
Yeah, this made me, and then I got really nervous because she did a good job of just like doing the rehearsal. We didn't see too much of that, but then they make her sing On My Own in the Eponine costume in front of the whole
entire cast
on the stage.
This is good. Ooh, that's really good.
I got so nervous for her.
Did you see that kind of handsome guy with the straightened hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. And then she gets a lot of instruction.
Yeah.
Like, and they really bombard her with, like, no, with that one note, what you could do is if you could lengthen it, but also shorten every other note.
Yeah.
But also just think to, like, sing above the note and then no. Yeah. And Kimberly...
She starts crying.
She cracks.
Yeah. She's crying in a really gorgeous way. Like, they're, like, it looks like they're talking and she's just wiping away the tears.
Yeah.
We also hear from the girl playing Eponine in this production. She's Cassie Compton. She was in the very first ever series of X Factor.
Really?
Yes. We just watched a clip of Cassie Compton on X Factor in 2004 singing Hero by Mariah Carey. And they dressed her, despite the fact I think she might have been like 16 at the time, she's dressed like she's an HR manager in a kind of regional office.
White jacket.
Boot cut, flared black trousers from Bay Trading.
Yeah.
Her hair appears to be greasy and she's got the kind of makeup on that in the 2000s when people didn't do contouring or anything where it's just flat. Just
very flat.
Very flat faced.
Flat face, flat hair.
Yeah. Anyway, good for Cassie. Yeah. Our Kim's very like emotional at this point. She goes backstage and the whole cast has left her some flowers and a nice card.
And she cries.
Yeah.
And then I've written there's a really sad good luck helium balloon above her head. And then I wrote here, oh, this actually means something to her.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does.
It's like her genuinely is her childhood ambition.
Yeah, this feels maybe the most genuine one we've seen so far. As much as we saw pictures of Cheryl dancing and, you know, Sarah loved riding horses. I guess this feels like the most tangible one, doesn't it?
Well, It's not as specific. It's not as if Cheryl said as a kid, I want a street dance.
Right, exactly.
Or Sarah said, I want to play polo.
Right, exactly.
But Kimberly did say, I want to play Eponine.
Right, this is exactly.
London's West End.
This is so specific. It's kind of exciting.
So it's the big night.
Yeah.
Who's there?
The only girls allowed to turn up is Chez.
Aww.
I'm guessing at this point maybe Sarah was in Argentina and... maybe Nicola was in Asia for her passions.
Laboratory in Asia.
Yeah, because they'd already been in LA, because they'd already filmed Call the Shots, and Cheryl had done her LA part of hers.
Right,
so Cheryl was done with her passions.
She's done.
So that's why she's so carefree and happy at the theatre. She does look very nervous, though, doesn't she?
Well, yeah.
She's really on edge.
I've written, Kimberly's mum's there, her sister's there, Cheryl's there. We see a shot of Kimberly backstage clutching a bottle of Buxton water, but no sports cap.
We don't get a name for Kimberly's mum. She's simply just labelled as Kimberly's mum.
Kimberly's mum.
Which is very rude. And yeah.
She performs, lovely ladies.
Oh, papa, oh, papa. That's how it goes.
A lovely lady, dee-dees. And I like to think that Cheryl's watching it. And when Kimberly came on the stage, Cheryl went, there she is, that girl. She makes a great whore. And I wrote here, bless her, she's doing it.
Yeah, she did really well. Every shot, she looked like part of the cast. She didn't stick out like a sore thumb, which is kind of the point.
She gets a little solo.
She does. She gets a little line in what appeared to be a Cockney accent, even though we are in France, right?
Who knows?
But I guess that's the umpapar of it all. So I was very proud of her when she finished that. She kind of runs off stage. And then, oh God.
I get really nervous for her here.
I got really sweaty palms here. So the guy playing Jean Valjean... in his talcum powdered hair.
At the end of the show.
He's kind of hot, that guy.
I've written here, thespians are so annoying.
So annoying. West End thespians.
He's like, right, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for attending tonight's performance.
Yeah.
We've got an extra special piece of theatre for you now. It's like, shut up.
Yeah, he was kind of hot. And at this point, they're all the cast are on the stage and they're shielding Kimberly in her Eponine costume in the middle, like she's going to do a reveal. And he basically says, Kimberly from Girls Aloud is going to be performing her dream solo of On My Own. And she does it.
She does. It's fine.
It's fine.
Did all her training go out the window? I can't really hear her.
Yeah, I think we might have been, things might have been kindly put together for some of it,
Yikes. She has a good strong end.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, like, nice and soft. At this point, the ticker tape at the top said, next, Katie and Peter, the next chapter.
Oh, Lord. We're still in that heyday.
Yeah.
God, so I'll have to see an episode of that.
Afterwards, Hillary's in the... You see, Hillary was there.
Yes.
She's in a spotty red dress. So she's had to watch fucking Les Mis twice. Or do you think she just nipped in at the end?
I think she... definitely nipped at the end. She was outside doing emails on her BlackBerry in the lobby.
Darling, I'll actually be having drinks at the Groucho and then I'll pop by.
I feel like she was, even though it was nighttime, she was moving sunglasses and glasses around on her head while she was doing things on her BlackBerry.
Yeah, trying to connect her Bluetooth.
Yeah.
So Cheryl cries.
Yeah.
It's very sweet.
Well, those two are very extra close, aren't they? Kimberly and Chez.
And at the end, she just says, I'm going to go have a drink.
And that was it.
That was the passion of Kimberly Walsh.
Listen, was it boring? Yes. Do I still hate Les Mis? Yes. Did I enjoy myself? No. The end.
I just enjoyed the little nuggets in this episode.
This one was very much about details like the radiator and her cake tin.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
Do get in touch on the Instagram. You can email us at
YoureWelcomeAmericaPodcast@gmail.com.
You can also call us at 612-699-2007, like the year.
Yeah.
That's 612-699-2007.
Let us know if you love Les Mis.
No, don't. Rate and review us, please, on Apple Podcasts. You'll get a regular episode of You're Welcome America, You Are Prime, every other week. And you've got one more week of The Passions of Girls Aloud. If you are going to the Girls Aloud show,
yeah,
call us.
Please.
I want to know. Call us from the show. You're welcome.
Hello, gorgeous. All right, I'm pressing stop.
You're welcome.
You are right up my street.
Oh, you can't make me choose.
I go by Toyota. Sponsors T4.
Fuck me, Lee Ryan's 13.
I remember we couldn't remember the word for table.